Here's our welcome to the Moment of Truth broadcast with Pastor Josh Hickey. This broadcast is a ministry of the Truth Independent Baptist Church located in Adamsville, Alabama. We want to thank you for tuning in to this broadcast and hope you receive a blessing from the precious Word of God. Now stay tuned for a message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Down through the ages, through history's pages, Satan's tried to silence her voice. Though her song may seem fading, glorious saints are now parading, bursting through with anthems of joy.
It is built on a solid foundation. She's been bought by the Savior's pierced hand, and the gates of hell shall never prevail. The church shall forever stand.
2,000 years ago, by the shores of Galilee, Jesus said to his disciples, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church." Since that time, the devil has tried everything in his power to stop us. He used Saul of Tarsus to slaughter Christians, but that didn't last, for Saul could not erase from his mind the triumphant death of Stephen, that martyr first whose eagle eye could pierce beyond the grave, who saw his master in the sky and called on him to save. And Saul, on the Damascus road, was converted to the Christ whom he persecuted. And the church still stands. Saul and the rest of Jesus' disciples were decapitated, hounded, crucified. But the more Christians were afflicted, the more they multiplied. And the church still stands. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Even as the young Christian in the dark ages who was told that for her faith she would be burnt alive in the morning. When the executioners came to her chamber at sunrise, they saw her clad in a beautiful, long wedding dress, white as snow. They asked her why she was not wearing black on this day of her death. And she said, "Nay, but this is the day of celebration. For today I will cross the threshold of eternal life and be united to Christ, my beloved." As they marched her down the road, she began to testify the gospel to the crowd who watched. But the angry tormentors, to silence her message, plucked her tongue out from the roots. But as the blood flowed from her mouth down the white dress, unable to verbally testify the gospel of Christ, she just pointed upward to the heavens that would receive her spirit from the rising flame. And the church still stands. And the church still stands. Today, all around this world, Christians pay a horrible price for their faith by the hand of the devil's children. Even in America, they voted to outlaw the Bible, the Ten Commandments, and prayer from our public school. Look what's happened. Anarchy has taken religion's place. But a few bold saints, as lambs among wolves, remain faithful to their God. Cassie Bernal, when looking down the barrel of a gun in her high school, was asked this question: "Do you believe in God?" She answered, "Yes." And a bullet took her life. Yes. True Christians are still faithful because true Christians still faithful because the church still stands.
As I look around me, I see martyrs today for Christ. They would not deny for the faith that has bought them is the faith that has brought them through their trial to their heavenly prize.
It is built on a solid foundation. She's been bought by the Savior's piercing, and the gates of hell shall never prevail. The church shall forever stand. Oh, armies and tyrants have come against her. Their kingdoms now reclaimed by the Lamb. No weapons against her shall prosper.
She's ordained by the great I Am.
Says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, they were added to the church, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And after they join, those people are to be active. And active is not coming to church on Sunday morning. Listen, don't just attend church. Be a part of the church. I promise you there's plenty of things that need to be done around here. You women want to clean? Praise God, I'll give you a key. You just come on whenever you get ready. And if the air works, you can come turn the air on. We got lights. We've even got indoor plumbing. Amen. So if you won't come up here and clean, just help yourself. There's all kinds of things to do. Some of you men say, well, you know what, preacher? I feel like God wants me to just cut the grass for the church. Keep it up. Let me maintain the property. And guess what? You ain't even got to pay me for it. Praise God. You know, I don't know where these churches get off having to pay members to do things. That's a disgrace, man. This is your church. Amen. This is your church. It ain't preacher's church. And I want it to look nice. I want it to look manicured. I want it to look good. My friend, the people will be active. Some of you just attend church. Some of you don't do that about half the time. But attending church, my friend, is just the fundamental thing. Be a part of the church. There's a big difference between the two. It takes active people to make the ministries of a church function. Listen, we are what we are by the grace of God. And any value that we have it because of our identity in Christ. This is a place you can come and be strengthened. And a place where you can come and be helped. But my friend, I've said it before and I'll say it again. And it doesn't bother me to repeat myself. Some preachers act like it scares them to death to repeat. It doesn't bother me a bit in the world to repeat myself. Because most of you don't get it on the first try anyway. So I have to, amen. The best way you learn is by repetition. But don't always come to church needing something. Come ready to give something. Amen. I mean, people are so needy these days. Quit being the needy one and be the one that's ready to give something with the open. I mean, just put your hand out there and say, I'm ready to give to the Lord. The people of the church are to be active. They're to be accountable. You realize you're accountable to your pastor. You're accountable to this church. Especially if you hold a position in this church. If you have somebody who just sort of hit and miss in that church on a consistent basis, I mean, you never know when they might be there, they might not be there, they just kind of come to church when they feel like it. Listen, you cannot place that person in a meaningful role because they are not accountable. They're not trustworthy. You don't know if they'll be there or not. So how can you place them in a meaningful role in the church? They'll not fulfill the responsibility that's been placed on them because the things of God take a back seat in their life. That's why. And you know, those are usually the type of people that if the pastor ever had to give them a sharp rebuke, or if the pastor ever said anything, gave them any type of correction about their church attendance and their delinquency, they would be the first one, my friend, to leave, and they'd run out. I mean, they'd be gone so fast it'd make your head spin. Amen. I mean, I know that's bitter, but hey, that's the truth. You say, why? Because the things of God are not serious to them. And they don't feel they need to be accountable to a church. And they don't feel they need to be accountable to a pastor. But you are accountable if you're a member of this church. And people miss you when you're not here. And people ask, where is so-and-so? But you know, there's certain people here in this church. People just stop asking about you after a while. People just no longer ask. They used to ask, where is Sister so-and-so? Where is Brother so-and-so? But you know, they miss so much that eventually people just stop asking, Brother Josh. Amen. Shake your head like this. That's right. That's right, preacher. Say amen or oh me, like the old timer said. But it's true. I don't want to be that person. I want to be, if I miss, which it'd be bad if I miss, wouldn't it? But if there's some people in here, you know there's people sitting right here, if they ever missed, their phone 5 minutes after church would be blowing up. But I'll be saying, dear God, where is so-and-so? If they're not here, they must be on their deathbed. Amen? I mean, that's the kind of person you ought to be, dear friend. You ought to be the kind of person, when you're not here, people are blowing your phone up wanting to know where you're at. But everything else in the world is more important than the house of God and being active in the church. I didn't mean to say all that, but I'm glad I did. Accountable. I heard this story not too long ago, and it's about a man who'd gone to church several years ago. And he went there for a long time. But all of a sudden, for some reason or another, he just stopped attending. And his pastor dropped by one evening unannounced. And I learned better than to do that too, because when you drop by unannounced and knock on the door, you know, you see the little blinds in the window just flick like that. And all of a sudden, must God, it sounded like a herd of horses in there, amen. I mean, that whole trailer house just a shaking, amen. It's the preacher. Hide it. Put that in the... You got to hide me, amen. God knows all of... He's in there with you. But this preacher showed up to this house unannounced. And the man answered the door and invited the preacher in. And of course, the man knew why his pastor was there. And so they went in and sat down in two of the chairs in front of the fireplace. And neither man said anything. And just stared at each other. And then after a few minutes, the preacher reached down and picked up these fire tongs and took one of the logs out of the fire and he laid it up on the hearth. And the flames died down and flickered a few times, and then the fire went out. And the two men just sat there and they watched in silence as that old log started to grow cold. After a little while, the pastor pastor reached out and picked up the fire tongs and put that smoldering log back on to the other logs that were burning hot. And almost immediately, that log burst back into flames. The pastor got up and he said, "Well, I need to get going. It's getting late." He said, "I enjoyed the visit." The man got up. He had tears welling up in his eyes. And he said, "Preacher, I appreciate your message." He said, "I'll see you in church Sunday." Friend, listen, you need God's house, and you need the fellowship, and you need the people, and you need the presence of the Lord to keep the flame burning hot for God. Don't miss. Come when you don't feel like it. Come when you're on top of the world. Come when you're in the valley. Just come to God's house, and I promise you, it'll help you. The people need to be disciplined. I've heard people say, "Well, I live too far, or I work too late, or I have company coming, or I don't feel good." And you know, most of the time, we feel like we tell ourselves we feel. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you know, if there's something you want to do, you just say, "Self, you feel good. You feel all right." And you know what? You'll feel all right. If it's something you don't want to do, then you just say, "Well, I don't think I feel so good tonight." And you won't feel so good. And a lot of you have let the devil work on your mind as a child of God and keep you out of God's house. I've heard every excuse in the book. You couldn't imagine some of the things that I've heard. Now listen, I couldn't write a book on pastoring because if I did, nobody'd believe it. Seriously, they'd say he's fabricating half of that. I am not. God be my witness. I had a man tell me one time the reason he couldn't come to church, it was in the dead of winter, and he told me, and this is God, my God is my witness, he said the tires on his truck froze to the ground. And his truck wouldn't move. Rubber tires. Froze to the ground. I said, "Brother, I might look dumb, but I wasn't born yesterday." I said, "You know, if you don't want to come to church, just don't come. You know, really. I would have more respect for a person who come up to me and said, 'You know what? I can't stand to look at you, and I'm not coming to church. I'm going to take about a month off because I'm sick of looking at you.' I would have more respect for somebody that does that than just, amen, give me some off-the-wall excuse that God and everybody else knows it's a lie." But they did. They tell me that I couldn't come because my truck froze to the ground, man. Have you ever heard? And I could put that stuff in the book, but nobody believed it. I'll give you another one. And some of y'all know who I'm talking about right here, and some of you don't. And if you know, then don't say nothing. But there was a couple at the last church that I pastored. And y'all, some of y'all in here knows this is a God's truth. And the church, the people at the last church I pastored, who wrote me a nice little love letter. I've had a few of them, Uncle Don. Had me some good love letters. Except they wouldn't tell me how much they loved me. And I've still got the letter. If you don't believe me, I'll show it to you. But they told me they was leaving the church. And the reason for leaving was because there was a hole in the wall behind one of the doors in a Sunday school room downstairs. And it had been there for 6 months and no one had fixed it. And so they leaving the church over there. Now don't you think those people were concerned about the good things of God? Don't you think they had their heart in the right place? And boy, they was really looking to get something from God, be a blessing to the church. Listen, friend, what I'm saying is when you are a member of an organized, local, New Testament church, you are accountable to that church. I almost have a love-hate relationship with Facebook Live. I almost have a love-hate relationship with YouTube and all the platforms that people can get on and watch, go back and watch it, you know. because it almost is like it relieves people of their duty to be in the place on Sunday and say, well, I'll just go back and watch it. I promise you, it's not the same. It ain't got the same effect when the preacher's up plowing the field. Amen. I mean, he gets over there and starts digging up your tater patch. You just reached in there and hit the end. Boy, we better swipe up. We better move on from that one. Amen. He's getting a little too personal. Amen. And, but when you're in here, bless God, you're stuck. Amen. Because you ain't going to get up and leave because everybody knows you're a dirty rotten sinner. And so you just going to have to stay here and endure it. Amen. And Lord God, it wouldn't surprise me if the word starts going around that I lock the doors and won't let people out, amen, in church. They ain't no telling what kind of stuff you'll hear. But you know, in the past few decades, we've seen a rise in what we call televangelism. And these independent ministries who are not out of a local church, I don't give you a cracked wooden nickel for a preacher who's not under the authority of a local church and a pastor. These freelance and evangelists are not scriptural, friend. They have no accountability. I have no use for a missionary, and I know a lot of you don't understand this, but I promise you this is biblical. I have no use for a missionary who is not sent out of a local New Testament church. And they're not under the authority of a pastor. And I can't pick the phone up and call their pastor and check on brother so-and-so and see how they're doing. This freelancing stuff is not of God. God ain't in it. God put people in a local church and he works out of a local church. And ministries are to be sent out of a local church. These freelancing independent missionaries, they have no affiliation, no accountability to a pastor. These slick-tongued professional preachers have confused people about the church and their relationship to it. Well, I'll just stay home and watch Jimmy Swaggy back. Jimmy Swagger. I like how he sings. And I like how he sings. Man can sing. Nobody ever denied the man's talent. I don't like what the man's done. I don't like what he stands for. I don't like what a lot of them stand for. And God help your soul if you won't stay home and watch Joel Osteen instead of coming here and Brother Josh preach. Amen. I don't see how in God's name. But see, that's what the masses are following. They're following the feel-good stuff. And you know, I'll just stay home and watch Jesse Duplantis get up there and tell all his jokes. You know why you like a preacher who tells a bunch of jokes? Because there's no conviction in that sermon. Ain't no conviction in that message. Did you come to hear a comedian or did you come to hear a preacher? Amen. And most people can't take this kind of preaching. But people who write with God can. People who are right with God will like this kind of preaching. And I said I was going to be doing teaching this morning, didn't I, sister? Weren't this a good little Sunday school lesson? But people are accountable to the church, and they ought to be accountable. So we see the organized church will have an organized program, diverse programs. It'll have organized people, but I won't say third and last of all, that the property of the church ought to be organized. The property of the church. I'm talking about the physical location of the church. Now, I'm going to close with this. But I think, and now get an amen ready right here. Y'all help me on this one. I think the property of the church ought to be neat and manicured and it ought to look good. The buildings ought to be kept clean and they ought to be kept tidy. Listen, parents. You ought to teach your children how to act and how to behave when they're in the church building. Amen. And when they're in the house of God. I don't care if it's on Sunday or if you're up here through the week, on Tuesday or Thursday or whatever day it is, they ought to treat the house of God like it ought to be treated. And you ought to teach them how to do that. Amen. And I'll help you as much as I can. But it's a place to be revered, this house of God. You know, there's something about just being in here. This in here feels different than anywhere else in this building. That it's just a reverent place. It's just a sacred place. And no, the building's not a church. It's not the church, but there's just something sacred about it. And we ought to treat it right. And you shouldn't leave ye trash laying in the pews and have candy wrappers and sucker sticks stuck in the carpet, you know. I've been in churches like it. It shouldn't be that way. And this isn't a jungle gym. And there's all kinds of rafters for these kids to swing off of too, ain't there? This big old building. I mean, buddy, they've been like baby Tarzan, just swinging. And they jump, swing from one end of the balcony to the other, brother. And man alive, I mean, but it's not a jungle gym. And I know they're children. I know children are going to be children. But parents, you need to do something about it. Correct them when you see them not doing right. Amen. Don't just let them do it and say, well, you know, boys will be boys. And amen. Well, she's just been cooped up all day in the house. Don't bring her down the house of God and let her tear the sheetrock off the walls. Amen. I mean, dear God. I mean, it's not a jungle gym. It's not a place where we have foot races. Ain't that right, Thor? I mean, Thor's my buddy. But I have to say, Thor, now slow down. And he'll come by that office. And he'll walk by that office, look in there like this. He makes me want to think I ain't seeing him. But I see him, I'll be, boy, just like that. That's all it takes. But he don't run my brother Josh's office no more. Amen. But it's not a place to have foot races. Amen. We're not out here passing the baton, children. I mean, listen, walls are not canvases for crayons. It's the house of God, and parents ought to teach their children. And this is a place, and it's special. And this is a place like no other place that they'll ever go. That's why we dress up to come to church. That's why we teach our children. We're not going to dress like we're going down here to Walmart. We're going down here to the ball field. No, we're going to put on good clothes, and we're going to put on our Sunday best, and we're going to go down to the special place called the house of God. The property ought to be kept up. The church is to be self-funded. And I got a strong conviction about this. Now listen, Brother Josh, real close. I'm getting ready to close. Some of y'all, I've lost you. But let me give you this. I've got a strong conviction about it. And the church is to be self-funded. Now you think, even Jesus and his disciples, that first church, even they had a purse. Now, unfortunately, the one who was a devil was their treasurer, but nevertheless, they had a purse. They had collected money. Jesus would just tell, he'd tell one of them guys, a couple of them guys, say, go in town and buy food. Go into town, find us lodging. You know how they did that? They collected money. The original church, and I'm preaching on that next week, they had a purse. And the church ought to be self-funded. It ought to take care of itself. We don't have yard sales and car washes out here in the parking lot. We're not going to hang your worn out clothes out here in front of the church and sell them for a quarter apiece. You're supposed to give your best to God. Not what you don't need anymore. Don't give God your leftovers. Amen. I think it's a disgrace to have somebody maybe drag your old dirty underwear out and sets it out on a table in front of the church to sell it. You'd be surprised, my friend, at what I've seen some of these churches. You know why? Nobody wants to give tithes. Nobody wants to give an offering. Everybody wants to rob God and keep it for themselves. We're not going to sell peanut brittle. We're not going to sell Krispy Kreme donuts. Amen. Now, if you want to bring me some, bless God, I'll help you eat them. Amen. But we ain't going to sell them. I mean, I don't like that. You know, people say, well, we're going to sell these Krispy Kreme donuts. We need to raise $100 so we can buy supplies for the kitchen and the bathrooms. God, help us. Amen. If you give your tithes and do right, you wouldn't have want for nothing around the church. Could you imagine if everybody faithfully, systematically gave 10%, and that's just a pattern. I know we're under grace. But if you gave at least 10%, everybody in this room, every dime that came in, they gave a penny from that dime. Every dollar that came in, they gave 10 cents. Every 10 that come in, they give a dollar. I'm talking about systematically, every week, every time you get money. I don't care if it's $75. You say, well, $7.50 of that goes in the offering plate. If everybody in here did that like they're supposed to, this church would be thriving financially.
Amen.
It would. But they don't. Offerings just fluctuate just like it. You don't know, never know. And I'm not fussing at you. But if you're not giving, you need to give. Church will be self-funded, see. You say, I ain't got a lot. God will take care of you. He ain't going to see his seed begging bread. You ain't going to go without. You ain't. Listen, my friend, God ain't going to let you starve to death. I promise you that. He might, if you start giving right, God may just start raining down blessings on you. The church ought to be maintained and kept up by its members, and they ought to give. And listen, my friend, now, you know, I had some ladies here not long ago. They had a yard sale in front of their house. They got $200 or $300, and that was a blessing, and they gave it to the church. That's fine. I'm not against that. I'm talking about doing it out here as an organized church effort in front of this building or somewhere out here. No, that looks bad. Church shouldn't have to do that. If people give, you'd never have to worry about anything like that. Now, I'm going to close. I believe that the building and the property ought to be maintained to a certain level. You say, why? Not to impress people. Not so we can come in here and beat our chest and say, look what we got. I won't do that. But it's to be done to bring honor to the Lord to an outside world out here. You know, they got their fancy buildings. They got their nice places. Let's go. Why can't God's people go first class? Amen. God's things ought to be first class. People wouldn't let their house fall in on them, but I've seen them neglect the house of God. I've seen churches and the weeds be growing up around the edges and vines going up the side of the building. And, amen. Shingles torn off the roof and tiles falling down out of the ceiling, lights out. And, amen. Ain't got duct work for central heat and air. Ain't got nothing. And the members of the church living in big fire homes and, amen, eating steak. And the church is having to live on bologna. This is our headquarters. This is where we sent out of, friend. We sent out of here, see? And I think God's house, it's where the church body meets. And I think it ought to be a wonderful place to meet. It ought to be kept up. And it ought to bring glory to God. I believe that with all my heart. You know, you can have the finest building in the world. And you can have the most beautiful church in the world, but that doesn't mean you have a good church. You know, probably better churches, the best churches are in these third world countries with these little old groups of people, 10 or 12 of them, amen, meeting in these little old shacks. Amen. It's got a dirt floor and a wood stove in the middle of it. Amen. Just love God. They're sitting on hard benches. Ain't got two nickels to rub together. But you know what? They'd be willing to die for the Lord if it come to that. And you can have a fine building and all the amenities and all the comfort, but it doesn't mean you got a good church. That doesn't mean you're winning the battle. God has a purpose for this church, and He wants it carried out decently.
place called Lodibar lived a young man who was crippled from a fall. His name was Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul. He was trying to survive. Since Jonathan and Saul were slain, it seemed all hope was in vain, and each lonely night was spent in fear of what another day would bring. But one day King David said, there is one thing I'd like to do. Is there one of the house of Saul, someone I could show my kindness to? Someone said down in Lodibar, there lives a son of Jonathan, Mephibosheth, the crippled one. David said, go and find him and bring him this message from the king.
Mephibosheth, forever put your fears to rest. Come and be my table guest. To you I'll be a father, and my son you'll always be. Mephibosheth, please accept the invitation. I've made all the preparation. Mephibosheth cried, oh, how can this be, that a king could ever love someone like me?
Living in Lodibar, where there's no comfort for a troubled soul, just a place full of broken hearts, never knowing what the future holds. But now that I've met the King, there's nothing like His love for me. Now I'm part of the family, since someone came and knocked upon my door with this message.
Mephibosheth, forever put your fears to rest. Come and be my table guest. To you I'll be a father, and my son you'll always be. Mephibosheth, please accept the invitation. I've made all the preparation. Mephibosheth cried, oh, how can this be, that a king could ever love someone like me?
I rejoice when I recall the day I watched those bridges burn, when I said goodbye to Lodibar, never to return.
Mephibosheth,
acres.
You have been listening to the Moment of Truth broadcast from the Truth Independent Baptist Church with Pastor Josh Hickey. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, please take this time to write us at P.O. Box 190, Adamsville, Alabama 35005, or give Pastor Hickey a call at 205-434-0600. Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another message from the pulpit of the Truth Independent Baptist Church.
Are partakers of the